Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to my good bad brain. I'm a normal person, so I'm insane. I've got depression and ADHD, but I'm doing better since I medicated me. I'm still not always sure whether I exist or what being a person even really is, but I figured out a long time ago that being alive is beautiful.
Hi, everyone. So if you are playing catch up, or maybe you didn't play catch up, but you just wanted to get in where we were. You're all caught up now. This is the episode that came out just this week. Very proud of myself. Wow, we're putting all 5 hours catching up. Oh, we're doing it. We're doing our homework. This episode was interesting. We had a fun talk that was all about hormones. Hormones, you know, those weird chemicals in your body that make you feel certain ways and act certain ways and blah, 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 blah. And they change over your life from when you're a teen, when you're an old person, all kinds of stuff. When you're, you know, they affect you. They affect you so intensely. And I wanted to just basically, we got a question about it, about how hormones can affect mental health and things like that. And then, I don't know, we just kind of jumped off there and talked about it for a while. I'm always interested in it. You know, I'm not going to repeat myself because we talk about it so much in here, but it's really fun. We talk about things, you know, basically how they affect cis people, how they might affect trans people. It's cool. It's a cool conversation. And also, Allie makes a surprise appearance. She was walking through and overheard. And Allie has some experience taking estrogen and different like testosterone replacement stuff. So we talk about it. When she comes in, she talks about it. It's great. I don't really think I need to talk too much because I think all my thoughts that I would offer here about it are things you're going to hear in the actual conversation. So without further ado, thanks for being here. I'm going to let this thing roll. If you want to support the podcast, you can do it at mygoodbadbrain.com by buying some shirts and stuff like that. Or if you want to go to patreon.com/mygoodbadbrain, you can do that. You could also come do Quarantine Calisthenics with me every day at noon. We go live on Instagram at my Instagram account, Jarrett_sleeper. Or also you can follow every day at noon where I post move previews. And yeah, that's it. I'm just going to shut up and let it go. This is a lively talk, I felt. Very interesting. Okay, I'm shutting up. Theme song. Bye. Doctor, you're there though, still, right?
I am here.
Yeah, mysterious. Mysterious. How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm pretty good. I got a little stir crazy this week, but headed to Mount Charleston with Gina, so that was nice.
What's that? That's just like a...
It's like it's a mountain about, I don't know, an hour away from where we live in Las Vegas, and it's like 20 degrees cooler up there. There's trees, like hiking trails. It looks like the Angeles National Forest. I mean, it's basically an extension of those same woods that run up all the west, the western spine of the country.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I feel that stir craziness for sure.
Dude.
Although I will say I left the house one day to pick something up, to pick up some lunch. And just we were having a nice little celebratory thing. And I got in traffic for the first time since court. And I was losing my mind. Not literally, but you know what I mean? I was just like, oh, fuck this. Fuck all of this.
Yeah, totally. I don't miss that.
I know. I don't want it to go back to normal. Obviously, I don't want people to get sick and stuff like that, but it's kind of nice. But everyone,
it's weird what's happening to people's anxiety. Like, I'm getting emails from students. I teach a class that starts in like 3 weeks. I'm getting emails about the syllabus. I'm like, guys, let me tell you when you're going to get the syllabus. Probably day one. Everybody just relax.
You think it's more anxiety than usual, you're saying, like from students and stuff?
I think it's a mixed bag. I think for some it's more than usual, or you know, I don't know. I think it's also probably just on a different trajectory than normal. You know, like there's a kind of total dissolution for a while, and then a shot of panic. That's kind of my guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I feel a little out of sorts. I mean, this office is crazy right now because we finally decided to like tackle a closet, this closet behind me yesterday, which was like a little bit on a whim, but like, you know, we built this shelf. The whole other corner over there is like a, can't really see it, but it's like a vocal booth in there now.
Oh, nice.
Ironic because, but, you know, just because Allie, you know, for the podcast and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And that's been good. And I was realizing like, it's funny because you feel like you're not getting a lot done because maybe we only focus on the things that we're not getting done, but really are like all these stupid little house projects and things. And usually they're on a whim. Allie and I both have, I mean, I definitely have ADHD. She's like questioning if she's got little bits of it or something like that. And I don't know. It was like one of the things that came up about ADHD stuff is that I guess people with ADHD are like, have very bad, they think things will go a lot quicker than they do. Like they're like, they think a thing will only take like 20 minutes or an hour, you know? We're like, oh, let's just take an hour. We'll do this thing really quick. And then it's like the whole damn day of like, obviously we're like building a shelf. We're like sawing off part of another shelf. We're like putting up, you know, you think it's going to take like an hour or two of like focus anyway. And then like other things go by the wayside. So like, that's why, you know, I haven't like published this podcast in like 4 weeks. I can find the time to come do this live, right? And then, I mean, other little technical annoying things, like a drive died and I was doing all this, whatever. But, you know, it's just like this weird, I don't know, prioritization or something where it's just like the days all seem like they kind of like bleed together into these blurs, you know?
Yeah, I totally get it.
We're like, you just don't know. I don't know. Management of things seems so strange. Well, something that came up yesterday from the quarantine, actually, and I just thought I'd ask you about, because it also interests me, and I'm a male in my mid-30s. I feel my injuries more than I used to. Things start to slow down. Is hormones and their effect on... Well, I'm interested in their effect on mental health, especially because, I mean, you know, I don't know. Doing some tests sounds cool as well, because you're like, wait, it'll make me more jacked and athletic again. That's more easily. That sounds great.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the thing that I read that I was like, actually, though, if this is true, that sounds great. I read some people who said like basically like they just felt like themselves again, like it in terms of. It helped their depression a lot, and I, you know, there was some stuff about, you know, that when they were younger versions of themselves. These are you know, cis men. I assume from the mm-hmm. posts that I read, that like they felt this sort of like, I guess the word was like they were more competitive in a, like a fun way, more focused, more like less ruminating, just. you know, like a younger version of themselves. And I was like, damn, that sounds good. Not because there's, you know, parts of my past that were terrible, that were like, I feel like I was miserable for sure, and more frenetic and whatever. And so I'm glad that stuff's calmed down. I wouldn't want that back. But there were also aspects of me that just had a little bit more of like a, you know, more of a, I didn't question myself. I didn't question if I belonged in a room, in like an audition room or something. I was just like, yeah, I'm good. I belong here. I'm good at this thing that I'm trying to do. And those sorts of things that are very like associated with like young maleness, that I was like, yeah, damn, would testosterone give me that back? Would I have less of this like sort of this anxiety version of depression? And I don't know. And that was very interesting. So I was just wondering if you knew anything about that, about the effects, obviously not on, you know, athleticism and physicality and things like that, or like, you know, possibly accelerating your hair loss or any of that. But like, do you know, you know, mental health related, personality related, the effects of hormones?
And it's a good, right. So this is something I certainly thought about. And I think like all of, not all, but I think a healthy chunk of people who value their kind of athletic prowess and feel it, you know, on the tremulous climb as they get older, think about this shit. Yeah, I mean, so for people who have like dysthymia, what we used to call dysthymia, which is like kind of a persistent low level kind of depressive symptom profile. So maybe they don't meet criteria for a major depressive disorder, but they kind of have like more of a, what I call like a low grade depression. There's been evidence that testosterone replacement therapy improves that condition. There is some evidence that TRT improve depression in hypogonadal men. So those are people who don't have like whose gonads are not producing a quote unquote normal amount of testosterone. It's, you know, and I've read a lot of the other research related to how testosterone impacts some other risk indicators like cancer risk and endocrine disruption problems and heart risk. Put it this way, like in terms of the physiological stuff, I was looking for a reason to like be validated that this could be something to do. And I still feel really uncomfortable with it.
Okay.
When it comes to, yeah, like depression, for example, which seems to be the most well-studied kind of mental health condition to be treated with testosterone, there's conclusions seem to be that TRT can be an effective treatment for some depressive symptoms in men, and it should be researched more. So I think, you know, like most things, you know, it's a high, there are a lot of risks associated with TRT also. So I think if you're going to do it, you really have to consult with a physician who's not just a booster and like, who's not just making their money off running a TRT clinic. So I think you really got to talk to your doctor, and you got to get a lot of blood draws and very closely monitor, you know, the effects. You know, the other thing is for men who are physically not healthy, like who have other risk factors for heart problems and stuff, you really, really got to be careful. So you know, there's kind of a mixed bag of research, but yeah, there is some evidence that TRT can impact depressive symptoms in a favorable way.
The dysthymia thing is interesting because I think I've even had a psychiatrist like say that's what I would say you have, dysthymia at this point, you know. So I don't know, even so, alleviating that, can you talk about dysthymia a little more? I'm going to ask you more about testosterone in a second, but what is dysthymia?
So dysthymia is not in the DSM anymore, which is not too bad for me because I liked it as the diagnosis, but it's not in the DSM anymore. I just double check if that's right, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
The dysthymia is not in the DSM or is?
Is not.
Do you know why they took it out or anything like that?
Yeah, it's been called now it's been changed to, let's see, persistent depressive disorder.
Persistent.
So it used to be called dysthymia. Depressive. Now it's persistent depressive disorder. So I'll read you the diagnostic criteria. So core criteria is depressed mood for most of the day, for more days than not. It's indicated by subjective account or observation by others for at least 2 years. Okay. But rather than like a weeks or months period of time that you would examine for major depressive episodes, this is a 2 year time threshold. And then some of the other, like the B symptom criteria, are same as the major depressive disorder symptom criteria. So it's going to be like appetite indicator, poor appetite or overeating, insomnia or hypersomnia, low energy or fatigue, low self-esteem, poor concentration, feelings of hopelessness. And, you know,
low self-esteem, feelings of hopelessness.
More
I'm going to look this up too. I need a visual. Dysthymia DSM, right? That's
how I type it. Now it's persistent depressive disorder.
Okay. Actually, can I persistent depressive disorder DSM-5?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if it says here.
Diagnostic code is 300.4. Also, if that.
Got it. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Depressed mood for most of the day. For more days than not, as indicated by their subjective account or observation by others for at least 2 years.
Here's the problem with just any point in time giving a subjective account of your feeling for the last 2 years is, guessed it, they're going to depend on how you're feeling in that moment. If you're really down and you were trying to rate yourself here, exactly, you're going to be like, yeah, I totally was depressed for the last 2 years. I mean, exactly. Nobody has good memory of the moment-to-moment flow of their emotions over 2 years. Like, I just wouldn't trust it. So if you really want to do this, I would fill out the Beck's Depression Inventory, which you can get for free online. I'd fill that out, you know, once a week for a couple of months, weeks.
What's that called? The Vex or Bex? Vex?
Bex with a B. The BDI. Depression Inventory 2. And that's just like a free, I mean, it's not technically free, sorry, Dr. Beck, but you can find it online very easily.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm pulling it up because I want to like check it out while we're.
I mean, again, like, you know, with all things, I always recommend starting the highest level of evidence and working your way down. So, you know, there are like a lot of much more well-studied depression treatments. So I wouldn't start with testosterone because it introduces all these other variables. But, you know, if you have a very knowledgeable physician, you're willing to spend some time reading the literature, I think, you know, it's maybe worth considering.
I might take some time. Actually, this is super interesting. And I might just do a little standalone episode where I read this off because this is so fascinating. The Beck Depression Inventory.
Yeah.
I think I remember taking this.
I will just say, with something like dysthymia or persistent depressive disorder, because these criteria, they're basically the milder criteria of like a major depressive episode. For example, there's no suicidal behaviors question. If there is a major depressive episode, like wanting to die. But appetite, sleep, fatigue, self-esteem, concentration, and hopelessness. I mean, that's any of us on a bad day, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like looking at this list. Presence while depressed of two or more of the following: poor appetite or overeating, insomnia or hypersomnia, low energy or fatigue, low self-esteem, poor concentration or difficulty making decisions, feelings of hopelessness. Yes.
So here's the thing. You know, those are the low bar criteria to meet. And so the critical thing here is that the time period, it has to be most of the day, most days for 2 years. Also, if that's the case, the first thing I would suggest is absolutely not getting on testosterone.
Yes, you know? not getting on it.
I mean, it's like 10th on the list. I mean, I would be looking at all these other things first. Okay, how is your sleep hygiene? How is your exercise? How is your diet? What other behaviors are you doing? What's your social life like? What are you doing to feel pleasure and mastery? Like, all these other interventions with, you know, zero or almost no side effects would be what I would recommend to start with.
Yeah.
And then I would do a physiological workup and see where is your level of testosterone. And, you know, if the level is low, there are a bunch of things you can do to boost endogenous testosterone, like exercise hard, you know, sprint, squat, get better sleep.
Work those big muscle groups. Did you say stop smoking weed?
Yeah.
Weed lowers testosterone?
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck.
You go to a fertility clinic. So my sister is an OBG oncologist. And if you go to a fertility clinic, the first thing they have you do is stop smoking weed.
Oh, that sucks.
I mean, I use it as a method of male birth control. But,
I think that's very smart.
I'm just fucking around. But,
I think that's very smart, doctor.
Yeah. But they will have you do that. So there are all these other things. You know, it's not another way to say this is it's not a quick fix, and people just really should not look at it that way. If you're not on the right, like if you have low testosterone as you get older and they titrate you back up to like a younger level, there's some evidence that doesn't fuck with your endogenous endocrine system. But, you know, if you.
Well, yes. That's the other thing that prevented me personally. I do have a follow-up question that's a totally different situation. Well, not totally different, but similarly, you know, different situation.
Your body will stop making testosterone. You know, your body will stop endogenously producing testosterone. Then if you, for some reason, have to come off the TRT, you have no fucking endogenous testosterone.
Right. So that's the big thing that's like always, for me, been like, oh, I don't want it. Because then your body just needs this injection. It's like...
You want to add one thing to your life that you physiologically really will need, you know?
Okay, this is the question I have, and then I'll get back to whatever. We're bouncing all around. But someone asked, this is where the question came from the other day, too, is this when we were talking about the quarantine. But what's different about all this stuff if it's for someone transitioning? You know, like for hormone replacement therapy, like does it affect mental health for trans people? And this person said, that their therapist hinted that HRT may or may not directly impact depression, and their personal experience is that the socially transitioning affected them more than the medical transition. You know, like just
yeah. I mean, yeah. Look, what is the period of time through which all of the extremely complex socially and medically determined constituents of a transition of gender transition have been studied? Is that total period of time and the total sample of people have been studied? I don't know, but my guess is it's not more than 10 years and not more than a couple of hundred, maybe 1,000 people have been rigorously studied. So
yeah,
anyone who tells you they have a sure answer to those questions does not understand science. So there's no way that people have a thorough understanding of that process. It is so complex and has so many moving parts. It's very difficult to pull apart the kind of cultural and social elements from the medical elements.
Yeah.
Now, hormone replacement is a part of that. It seems like the benefits that people derive in terms of their mood and feeling like their real selves finally, you know, those are really important benefits. I just think you have to have a sophisticated understanding of the literature as much as possible, like as a lay person, and you really need to read that literature. Like I've not read the kind of, I'm not immersed in the medical literature of transitioning, gender transitioning. But if, you know, I would encourage people to make Google Scholar their friend if they're going through that process, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Some other people had some more questions about, the weed THC thing. Is it THC in general? Do you know, or is it just like weed when it's from the plant or, you know what I'm saying? Like does CBD affect testosterone?
Here, let's see. So this is, endocrine effects of marijuana in the male. THC appears to depress prolactin, thyroid gland function, and growth hormone while elevating adrenal cortical steroids. Chronic exposure while reduced testosterone is an important... there's reduced testosterone and reduced sperm production from THC, but it's completely reversible with time. Cool. And there's probably some reason to believe that tolerance develops with acute exposure to THC. So if you're habitual, there might be some tolerance. Yeah, and I think, you know, trying to get pregnant, I want to cut back on the weed.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I've been smoking weed for a long time, and, you know, okay, here I definitely feel like my physical performance just in the last couple of years from like 34 started to decline. Like that's not the case for my friends, you know. But like I don't squat as much as I did when I was 33.
Right.
And not working quite as hard either, you know.
Yeah, but I don't go as hard is one thing. I feel like a main difference is it's so obvious, and this is what all the literature says, but it seems so obvious. Injury recovery seems tougher. I got more like tweaks that just linger and stick around, you know?
Yeah.
That seems to be the biggest one for me. I don't know. I guess it just sounds, the other thing about it that like, there's no magic pill. Like, even if you're like on the coolest steroids you could get, like you still have to work so hard. You have to like lift so hard. You got to like, you got to eat right. There's no like thing you take that fixes all of it, which I still is my understanding, which I feel like is applicable to the mental health stuff too. Is like for sure antidepressants or Adderall or maybe testosterone. I don't, like these things will maybe help push you in the direction. But it's still gonna have like more. It's still gonna have require practices to change from you and like behavior to change. You know,
I'm just looking at another study of serum testosterone. It looks like it's most affected by like very recent use. So it looks like it's inversely associated with time since last use. So it seems as if the associations are relatively short term. Although again, I don't know that there have been any 20-year studies on like daily marijuana use and serum testosterone. Like I'm not aware of the study,
Okay, before I move, I'll stay on testosterone for a second. So one person, is it safe to assume that this would affect men more than women? I will say that like I don't think, I mean, I know that they do like hormone replacement therapy in women as they age as well. Sometimes they'll get testosterone and stuff like that.
And it seems they more typically get like female hormones, to treat really bad menopause. And the science has just gone back and forth on the health benefits of that. Like it used to be people would recommend it for, reducing the risk of certain types of ovarian cancer. And then they went back and said, no, that we shouldn't be doing it. So,
That's so, Allie, that's so funny because you came on the mirror and I didn't realize. Allie, I do my best to be like fairly anonymous or neutral when I'm bringing things up with people. But Allie's been doing some of that for a few years. She's talked about it, I guess, like publicly. That she has like, what's it called? Early onset ovarian failure or something like that? Premature ovarian failure. So it's like she's been doing, and well, do you mind, can I ask you this right now, how did it affect you doing like starting or when you're using testosterone? You're using testosterone cream sometimes, right? Maybe I'll bring Allie's gonna join us for a moment. we're gonna get an extra. Do you mind?
Hi, as a cis het lady,
speak into this close
because okay, so hey, what's up? It's Allie. I went through primary ovarian failure or premature ovarian failure, which is like essentially life is just like surprise, menopause 15 years early. And so I had all these hormonal issues that I didn't understand. I thought it was stress related. I went to a bunch of doctors and they all said that I was working too hard. I was traveling too much. Don't worry about it. Relax. And it turned out that I was going through like perimenopause in my early 30s. So I had no idea until it was way too late and my hormones were totally jacked. And so I went on estrogen patches to replace it. But I had a hell of a time figuring out the hormone replacement therapy because you also need, as a lady, you need estrogen, you need progesterone to balance that. And I was taking stuff that was not the right stuff or dose for me, and the progesterone made me like so depressed, like suicidal ideation, depressed, like fucked up, where I didn't understand that it was progesterone related. And so it took a while. And then I finally went to a really great doctor here in LA who was like, I'm also going to test your testosterone. Has anyone done that? And I was like, no. And she was like, well, that also matters because your ovaries are stop making that too. So she put me on some cream. So I'm on tea, yo. And Jared's like, can I have some? And I was like, I don't think there's enough for you, but it's 45 milligrams. It's no, it's 10 milligram daily cream. And my only issue with it is that I'm not consistent enough with it because I want to put it on right after I shower. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, shit, I forgot. Or I'm like, oh, no, I didn't shower today.
Do you mind, like, how does it feel different when you're using it?
When I'm using it, I started to notice that, yeah, I definitely was hornier, which was great. I was like, oh, hello. If you've ever been on, if you've ever taken birth control and you're like, oh, great, I took this thing so that I could fuck more. And now I forgot how to fuck. That is, I don't know why that is so cruel, but I feel like birth control kind of can kill your libido, which sucks. But yeah, I definitely felt hornier and, a little happier and a little more energetic. And that is how my gynecologist was like, yeah, that it can affect your mental health and just like your get up and go. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, which, I mean,
did she go out yet?
No.
Oh, she's freaking out. She's like, please, let's go outside. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Gami's here too. Gami, do you have any thoughts?
I hope that helps. If anyone, hi guys, if anyone is going through any kind of, like any kind of ovarian issues, like ask your doctors to check all of your hormones, and really do not be like, understand how much hormones can affect your mood. I know that, you know, anyone with like, with PMS can tell you that it can be pretty rough, but if you're going through primary ovarian failure, it's like the worst PMS you've ever had for like 2 years. And also if you don't know that it's happening, it just seems like mood swings are really random and you don't realize that like you're going through these major waves of hormones that are nuts. Anyway, hope that helps.
Babe, thank you for doing that.
Of course.
No. That was fun. I should have you come do stuff more for... Just get that tea. I'm jacking that cream. Give me that cream. Anyway, so there you go. I think that's... I am interested also... Our friend in the chat, personally, yes, testosterone definitely makes you hornier. I'm always interested because I remember hearing a long time ago. So I don't know. It was probably like, who knows? But I remember hearing somebody who was talking about transitioning on like some NPR show or something like that. And like basically that they felt they were experiencing like male horniness that, you know, for the first time or something like, and they're like, oh, you know, quote unquote, like the typical kind. And I always like appreciated that radio thing. But I'd like to like redo that. I'd like to interview a bunch of people who've transitioned both directions just to kind of be like, hey, now did you experience any like, quote unquote, like men are like this, women are like this changes?
You know, about that and shit. So I would, yeah, I think it's, that would be an interesting project, you know?
Yeah, maybe I won't. Again, I'm trying to keep it anonymous, but. You know, maybe my friend in the chat, like, well, maybe we could do another interview or something, or an interview. Yeah, maybe we could do something. That'd be cool. But I'd like to explore that more because it's just something that, I don't know, gender is such a strange thing. I think to me, it always links into like the difference between, I don't know, what I experience as my sense of, look, okay, how do I get this thought out? My horny universe thing. My belief that like, which is just becoming like that we live in the horny universe. It's the horniest possible expression of reality. I really think is like my joke about that, but also my honest philosophy is that like, to me, the struggle of being a person is this weird, is like the injection of divinity, which, you know, a more scientific notion could be consciousness, I guess, into these animal bodies and like the interaction between those things. Like what are the demands and instincts and feelings of the flesh, whether they're fear or lust or anger or hunger or whatever. And how does that interact with, or just simple patterning of like how your electrical and nervous systems like pattern and learn habits and blah, blah.
Just being hungry, any like bodily urge interacting with our highfalutin consciousness is just hilarious and stupid.
Yeah, hilarious and stupid. Exactly. Like it, just realizing like how it, like one thing I always think is like, all right, if I have to pee real bad, you get more short and mean. You know, you're like, please just stop. I need to, can we talk about this later? You know? And it's so funny to think like literally just because one of your like release valves needs to be cranked, you know, that you turn into a different person, like a ruder.
like imagine Einstein on the verge of producing the theory of relativity and he has to like run from the chalkboard to take a shit. It's just so dumb, you know?
It's like, so dumb. Yeah. And so I'm like, if you know immediately that that affects what kind of person you are, you're going to tell me like you have just choice over all the chemicals in your brain and all the things that happen, you know? So anyway, that being said, I whenever we get into discussions of like gender and like what gender is, whatever, obviously so much of it is social construct, but there's some aspect too that's acknowledged by like, no, I want to take these quote unquote male or female hormones to feel more male or female, that there are some patterned things from like whatever natural, whatever that affects the expression of what male or female is considered or what the feeling of maleness or femaleness is. And I'm always just so interested in that because there's like a spiritual or a thematic notion as well, like yin yang, what's male, what's female, what, you know what I mean? Because we also misgender so many things, like not misgender, but like we lend gender to things that don't have gender, I believe, you know, like strength or like beauty. Like these notions are gender, should be considered neutral, but like we often, so it's like this really interesting thing. And I always want to talk more. Yes, of course, more than one trans person. That's what I'm saying, is like interview a bunch of different trans people about like what changed, what was different. Just sort of like, I don't know. It would all be anecdotal because like you said, you know, there has been no good test. There's no good, deep, extensive population test that's done, right? Like study, not test, but.
I mean, it would be, just imagine how difficult it would be to do that. I mean, it would be such an expensive study and it requires so many moving parts. It should, you know, well, to do it, but.
Right. But it's just like, and culture and politics have to catch up, right? To like get that kind of, it's just like a lot, but it's very interesting.
Imagine fucking the Trump machine giving NIH $20 to do that study. Like, give me a fucking break, you know?
Yeah. What was I going to say? So, Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, this is also just how stupid it is to have like our entire national priorities hijacked every 4 years. Like a team that I was a part of was doing the first big army LGBTQ study. Like it's a study of like a social study of, you know, attitudes and experiences of LGBTQ service members. And then Trump got in and like reversed the decision that allowed them to serve openly. So we're like in the middle of the study and now they're not funding those studies anymore. And, you know, everybody's got freaked out and it was just so dumb.
So dumb. So dumb. The every 4 years thing is so dumb. I've been watching the show. Have you watched? This is a weird leap. Well, here's my little thought process. I thought that's so dumb. And then I thought that's why China is cool, because they're communists and they can plan 100 years in advance. And then I was like, communism is cool. And then I was thinking about this show that I've been watching, The Great, which is like my favorite. It's the guy who wrote The Favorite, wrote the show about Catherine the Great. It's fucking fantastic. I feel like it's so funny and weird and dark and good. And you're watching it and you're like, oh, that's why communism happened there. You know? Like the way that the way the aristocracy acted was just, that's why. Amazing. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they also got Marx, but I guess.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But you realize like why that sort of sentiment could rise in a place. Like, you know what I mean? You have to
totally
surfs in such a way that you're like, yeah. There's some phrase I've heard assigned to various groups and nationalities or whatever, where they like Americans and things, where they're it's like they're just like everyone else, only more so. And I really like it, and I always think, and to me that's like what Russians feel like when you watch like Russian literature and history, and it's like it just feels like normal people, just like more like a little bit more passion, a little bit more crazy, a little bit more like lust, a little bit more like philosophical integrity of like, we're gonna do this for these ideas, just a lot more willingness to die and kill for things. I don't know.
Hey, man.
Weird. Sorry, that's a total side note. Back to, I want to say a few more questions. I was gonna say, in terms of raising your testosterone, endogenous is the stuff that your body actually produces, right? Yeah. I was going to say some things that seem to work, definitely, and maybe you can confirm or deny if you know any of, like, if this stuff is bullshit or not. One, you already said it, so I'm just going to say it again, is exercise, in particular, of your large muscle groups and compound muscle groups, like your legs, your hamstrings, your quads, bent, you know, big compound movements, explosive strength efforts.
Yeah, heavy squats, hill runs, sprints, stuff like that.
Yeah, that will make your body make more testosterone.
Yeah, and sleep. Sleep is really fucking important. I mean, if you're not sleeping a good amount of time, you are just not going to be producing those endogenous testosterone.
That is interesting. Okay, so then other things I've eaten or that they say you can eat, like ingest to increase testosterone, is like fatty grass-fed beef, apparently.
That... I mean, that would be, yeah, I think the ones that I've read most about, like, repeatedly are the large muscle group exercise and sleep. Then, you know, like, not smoking cigarettes, not drinking too much, not doing all that shit that disrupts your normal functioning.
Well, this might be just, like, life hack bullshit that's, like, not real or whatever, but I've read Brazil nuts, because they have selenium, and selenium, I guess, is something, and then beef, like, and then what's the other one? Pine pollen. Do you know about pine pollen?
Acai. Special acai bowl.
Acai, yeah, of course, acai and Jesus. No, but do you know about pine pollen? Apparently, pine pollen is, like, this is, I think, very interesting. I've read about pine pollen at various times, and that pine pollen apparently has, like, a chemical structure of very similar to, very, very similar to, what do you call it? Testosterone. Sorry, my brain is bad. And, one of the thoughts about where the, and so if you ingest pine pollen, basically that it, like, can sort of mimic, it can, like, you know, the way certain things, like, just fit receptors similarly or something, I guess it can, like, mimic actual exogenous testosterone. And
I'm just reading a little bit. It seems like it's pretty under-researched, although there are these anecdotal reports. Although it appears that the testosterone content of pine pollen appears too low to cause appreciable effects in the human body, but
no. Okay.
I would always talk to your doctor, like, yeah, and talk to an endocrinologist, you know, because your primary care doc is probably not going to be set up on the effects of pine pollen on testosterone. Yeah. You know?
Which, as a side note, though, the pine pollen thing is kind of fun, because if it does, I mean, they were like, that might be part of the reason the notion of the lumberjack as a manly figure isn't just the fact that they are men alone in the woods doing big compound movements like sawing and you know, carrying big logs, but also are ingesting pine pollen all day long, like inhaling it from the pine trees, and that's why, yeah, like, they get these big burly beards, and that's, like, where the idea of a lumberjack is born. Amazing. Wait, hold on. Yes. Oh, the other thing about it, though, I always think is, okay, same question. Someone asked, like, do you know if this is all for cis men or for trans men as well? As far as I know, these things work just in bodies, like these mechanisms, at least the sleep and the heavy lifting and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, yeah. I think you really got to talk to your endocrinologist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I always think, like, my understanding is the things I just said about, like, lifting and sleep or maybe these other things will, again, I'm Jarrett, right? I'm not a fucking doctor. I'm nothing, okay? I've done, like, a lot of, like, layman research, but whatever. Here's my bro science understanding, is that this stuff, and this is what I would tell people when I would train them and things like that, too, because it's, like, that this stuff will, yes, raise testosterone in everybody, blah, 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 blah. But then you get people who come to you who are interested in lifting weights or whatever, and are like, I don't want to get bulky. Like, especially if they were cis women, and they'd be like, I don't want to get bulky. And you'd be like, if you could get bulky from doing this, you would be so fucking lucky. Like, you would have the most one in a million billion hormone profile and, like, growth hormone. Like, you, to explain to people what is required to get bulky, much less on a cis female's hormone, like, generally, you know, obviously, everybody's got a separate thing. Check your the endocrinologist, check your numbers, whatever. But, like...
Nobody got jacked by accident, let's put it that way.
No one got jacked by accident. Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. I met a few people in my life who are like, who do feel that way. Usually they're like CrossFit coaches or some kind of athletes who are like, I just start doing a couple squats and I'm like, pfft. I joke with Allie about it, actually. It's like really unfair. She did the 23andMe thing a while ago. And one of the markers I just always cite, and, you know, cause who knows? They're all markers. They're all like, you could or could not express this gene it's called elite athlete genetics. And I'm like, oh, this fucking explains everything. This is so fucking unfair. Cause like, she's like, yeah, whenever I want to just like make my legs and butt more muscular, I just go on some hikes. I go walk up some hills. And I'm like, you walk up some hills? And I'm like, this explains a lot. She's like, I'll just start running again. And I'll talk. And I'm like, running doesn't do that, but it does for her, because when she used to like run, it would be like 12 miles at a stretch. Like, just, yeah, I would do 12 miles. I just run the reservoir like six times. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, okay, well, fine. Elite athlete genetics. Fine. Yeah. You never mind all the fucking shit I've read a million times to be like, how do I get my body to grow? How do I get it more muscle? How do I do it? And just trying to optimize. Yeah. Some people are just like, yeah, walk up a hill.
That's true. I mean, it's true. Like, what was that football player who went over to MMA and was like completely yoked in his 40s? It was
Herschel Walker. Yeah, I think Herschel Walker.
Yeah, he was like, no. Okay, so here's this article, and it's a small N, 23 trans man. So, you know, but basically these trans men, before hormone treatment, they had similar bone and body composition to control group women. And then after testosterone treatment, they gained 10% muscle mass and 9% fat loss.
In what time period?
1 year of treatment.
A year? That's insane body recomp. A year, you gain 10% muscle mass and lose 9% body fat?
I'm guessing none of them were like highly trained.
Sure, sure. You when you're new, you get like much crazier shit. But still,
these changes were observed in the control group. Okay, short-term testosterone treatment in trans men increased muscle mass and bone turnover. That may reflect an anabolic effect of testosterone treatment rather than bone loss. Yeah,
crazy. That's so. I mean, hopefully that answers some of that question, I guess. But anyway. Very interesting. Wow, we really talked about hormone stuff most of this episode with the slight jaunt to communism.
Just a takeaway, you've got to find a good physician who doesn't have a financial incentive in selling you a hormone and who's interested in you preserving your health, and develop a good relationship with them.
Yeah,
and
that's the other aspect, is finding a good one, because I know that when I was doing more physical therapy and like chiropractics at this like office for athletes, you know, for like all these people a lot of people there were like athlete type people, like MMA guys and stuff like that. So you're getting adjusted and you're getting crunched and you're doing, you know, physical therapy and blah, blah. Like, I literally saw, what's his name? Who's the actor from 300? The Spartan guy? Yeah, Dropout. I saw him there one day. Like, I was like, oh, all right. This makes me feel good.
People may not like this, but you go to like a chiropractor to be healed, that can be helpful.
Yeah.
But the explanation in the chiropractic literature about how their methods work is unsupported by any evidence whatsoever.
Terms of what, like innervations and things?
Their account of why you are in pain is due to something called a subluxation, which doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a subluxation. If you are enjoying benefits of a chiropractor, and I have before, and keep going and enjoy those benefits, but just be wary about their explanations for things, because they may or may not be based in any evidence.
Well, my point, which is very much piggybacks on that, was that also in this office was they had a doctor who did hormone replacement therapy. And they were like, if you'd like, we'll test your hormone levels. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love that. And what do you know? I was a little low. You're a little low. And we can get you started if you want, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Men's testosterone peaks like in early to mid-morning. So if they're doing draws, it needs to be early to mid-morning if it's going to be legitimate, you know?
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. It was just so – I was just like, yeah, I have a feeling that everybody who takes your test is maybe a little low at least. You know what I mean? So yeah, finding somebody who you actually can trust seems like part of it too. I don't know.
When I try to do this shit, I'll report back.
Yeah, thank you. That'd be fun. Let me know. We'll do a cycle of tea together and we'll just like see what happens. My biggest concern is just that one of like your body doesn't make it at all anymore. And you're like, I don't know. I'm already so nervous about like even just starting psychiatric stuff and being like, do I have to take antidepressants forever? Do I have to take Adderall forever? And just be like,
fucking forever, you know? Like, yeah. What if something goes wrong and supplies are disrupted and you can't, you know, like that's the shit that freaks me out too.
I know.
Or I want to. TRT, like what?
Yeah, exactly. The TRT stuff, for some reason, because it's more like biological, whatever. I'm like, I mean, it's not more. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. But like, that freaks me out more. I think because I'm like, if I'm in a situation where society's disrupted and I don't have my antidepressants or Adderall anymore, it'll help me. You know, I'm like, it's fine. Society won't exist anymore. I don't need to function in society anymore. Now I need to be a maniac, and that'll be helpful. That's what I tell myself.
Probably true.
Anyway, well, that was pretty good. I think we're good for today. I don't know if there are any more. No, that's true. That's true. Like someone goes, I'm going to take tea for the rest of my life. And I guess that's just fine the way it is. It is. That's what I'm saying. It's just like everybody's different. I'm saying if I'm in it, but it's like, to me, it's the difference between like, if you had diabetes and you find out you're going to have to take insulin your whole life. Okay, fine. I have to take antidepressants my whole life. Oh, fine. I'll have to do that. But if I am in a situation where I'm like, I want, like literally insulin's actually a funny example. Some fucking bodybuilders start injecting themselves with insulin because it helps you like get carbs and protein into your muscles better, you know? So like they basically give themselves diabetes. And I'm like, I just don't want to do that. I just don't want to like destroy my body's ability to produce it if I already had. I don't want to take it for granted. You know what I'm saying?
This is not an abstract judgment about whether it's quote unquote good or bad to do it. It's nothing to do with that. It's your evaluation of the risks and benefits for yourself.
Right.
That's all it is.
Right. Exactly.
I can't possibly put myself in this mental space, but if I were, you know, transitioning to be a man, and that was part of making me feel like myself, I would fucking do it. Of course. 100%. You know?
Yes.
Risk benefit would be completely different from the framework that I currently inhabit, you know? Right. So
exactly.
I think it's very important to get away from abstract, unexamined notions of good or bad. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
Yes.
It's just looking at the risks and benefits for yourself and making sure you're informed about those risks and benefits and being responsible. Talking to a fucking professional who is immersed in this literature, does it for a living, and has seen hundreds of patients. Like, that's what you should do.
Yes. I totally agree. And this is like a subject for another day. But one thing I think about, just like we gender things that don't need to be gendered, the insertion of morality into things totally unrelated to morality is like, to me, like the foundational issue in most of society and politics and stuff like that. And that's like nutrition and exercise is a great example of that, of like good and bad is like this, like that there's some food is good and some food is bad. And this exercise is good and exercise is bad. And these habits are good and these ones are bad. It's so insane. Instead of just like a more, I guess, technical, mechanical look at things about like these things have these effects on these bodies, you know, and that everyone's going to be different and trying to figure out how those mechanics work. And it's just inputs and outputs. It's not like good or bad.
Look, I just think, you know, it makes sense to understand that the mind is always seeking shortcuts to preserve efficiency. And the biggest and most reductive shortcut we have is good or bad. And as a result, it's almost never an accurate description.
Completely. Well, yeah. All right. I think this is good. We'll be done for today. Dr. Nick, thank you. I was doing it before. Okay, here's part of the thing. I had like this drive die that had a lot of the old Good Bad Brain stuff. It was just like very scary and annoying. So I finally got the drive back. I got it repaired. Cost the money. It sucked. I'm going to drop like 5 fucking episodes of Good Bad Brain onto the internet today. So some of y'all have been here for these streams, so you won't have missed anything anyway. But yeah, we'll get this bad boy rolling again. And thank you for being here. This is a fun episode. This is really interesting. We basically just talked about hormones the whole time, which is kind of neat. Well, male ones, at least, testosterone ones. We can talk more about this stuff in the future. Yeah, anyway, do you have anything else you'd like to add, or would you like to direct anybody towards this week or anything like that?
No, I mean, again, it's not my field. So I was really kind of just reading through the literature on the fly.
Oh, that's what it was. I knew I had one thing in my head. The last question I'll just add, which is related exactly to what you just said. As not related to mental health, but how do I get good at reading scientific articles and keeping up with the literature? Do you have any, cause you're like picking them up real quick. You said Google Scholar was one.
You know what? We should do an episode on this because I just think scientific literacy is so important.
Okay.
Here's what I would do. Here's what I would do. First of all, if you went to like a university, you probably get free access to your university's library on Google Scholar. And if you didn't, one of your friends for sure did. So Google Scholar is a great resource, and it's very easy to access and get free articles. All the abstracts are free anyway. I wouldn't base conclusions on abstracts, but you can at least read the of literature review methods, results, and conclusions.
Cool.
It's a good idea to have like a basic understanding of inferential statistics. So I would just watch a video. Like if you haven't done this, just watch a video on the normal distribution, like the statistics used to describe a distribution, which is like the mean, median, mode, and standard deviation, and maybe like a basic kind of regression video. Don't be freaked out by this stuff. It's not hard. Like I was terrible at math, and then like now I love statistics. So
okay, well fine. Let's literally do this. Let's literally do this next. That'll be next week's thing. You'll just do a. Let's just do a literacy.
I'll read a journal article. I think is great. And the last thing I would say, because I recently had a fun Twitter fight about this. People are like, oh, so you know, people who don't understand science say things like, oh, well, the science is unproven, or the science is bullshit because it said this and now it says this. That's not what science is. Science is the slow, gradual process of chipping away at uncertainty. So very rarely is there like a flash of insight that proves something 100%. It's more disproving things that are not the case. That's really what we're about.
That's interesting.
Disproving things that are not the case, so that little by little you chip away at all the excess material and you're left with like better and better hypotheses. That's why it's perfectly normal and good for there to be kind of conclusions that appear to be in contradiction as the science gets better, you know?
Yeah.
So we can talk about that and how to read a journal article, but I think it's an incredibly valuable skill. I'm happy to talk more about it.
Okay. Oh, I'm putting you on the spot again. Are you available at noon today?
I can do, you want to do a little meditation thing?
Yeah, that'd be cool. We can do it on Zoom too. You don't even have to get on Instagram. We're doing it on Zoom sometimes. So today we'll do a Zoom. If anybody's around who's on the stream right now, we'll do for our QC time, Self-Care Sunday. Dr. Nick will join us finally. Shanghai'd him into it. And we're going to do that. You'll do like a progressive muscle relaxation thing, right?
Yeah, we can do that for sure. We can whatever we want. Whatever. That's a good super progressive muscle relaxation.
Okay, and I'll put the link in the Instagram and stuff, and I'll announce it on the Instagram, but we'll do it on Zoom just to so we can see each other and Dr. Nick doesn't have to get back on Instagram, another shithole social media platform. All right, thank you guys. See you all. I'll see a bunch of you at noon, and the rest of you I'll go throughout the week, quarantine, calisthenics, and whatever. Be well, self-care, hydrate. Bye. All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. My Good Bad Brain is a production of MindJam Media. I'm a little media company. Thanks to Coda for making this theme song with me. And that's it. MyGoodBadBrain.com. Patreon.com/MyGoodBadBrain. You're the best. Have a good one. Self-care. Hydrate. Be well.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.